Hello, welcome to House of Comments. We thought we'd have a really simple week. We'll talk about the local elections. It'll all be nice. But hello, Emma Bunnell. That's not what's happened, has it?
No, Charlotte Henry, that is not what's happened because Scotland has exploded.
Exploded, imploded. Pick your adjective as you see fit. The Scottish government is on the brink of collapse after a deal with the Greens and the SNP has fallen through over basically the SNP's shift on climate change policy, and the Greens have walked away from the government. It means the SNP are
Well, no,
now...
the Greens were thrown out of the government, but it was all that sort of, I'm going to dump you before you dump me kind of thing.
Yeah, it had that very much. No, my ex goes to a different school now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what's happened. So it means Humza Yousaf is leading a minority SNP administration, and I can see absolutely zero problems with that. I'm sure it will all be smooth and be absolutely fine.
As I just said on Twitter, Humza Yousaf has played a bad hand appallingly. He just has, like, he has, like, the opposite of political instinct. If there's a thing he shouldn't do, he runs towards it.
We've said similar about Rishi Sunak, but yes, he's...
I think to be fair to Rishi Sunak, not...
Whoa, I'm clipping that.
Often, he is not as bad as Humza Yousaf.
Okay. What is your particular criticism of how this has played out then?
Well, for a start, he should have seen it coming. He should have laid the ground when they decided to drop these measures much, much better with their coalition partners. Now, the Greens have been nightmare coalition partners for the SNP.
The Greens are being a nightmare. That doesn't sound like
them.
I know,
imagine. I mean, one of the things that's really become clear from Brighton to Scotland is when the Greens get their hands on the levers of administration, they are useless at it.
Can I just say, and I don't like to be too personal on the show, as you know, I'm a deeply civilised and polite human being who never loses their temper. I wish you could all see Emma's face when I said that. When I was campaigning as a candidate, the most unpleasant people I ever had to deal with were the Greens.
Well, it's fascinating because online, I made some mild criticism of the Greens the other day and got 2 days of shit for it. And there are two groups, and I said at the time, I said that they are worse than the Cybernats. And the Cybernats were traditionally the absolute worst online. Now, there are other debates where, as you know, I've got myself involved and they are even worse. But the Cybernats were traditionally absolutely fierce and ferocious and unending shit, just going on and on and on and on. And the Greens are as bad these days. And I think in many ways, this goes back to the decision they made in 2015 to not be a single issue party anymore.
Mm.
Which means that instead of being relentlessly focused
on the environment,
on climate change and the environment, they picked up a whole bunch of fringe issues and ran with them, and they became the home of the kinds of people who are obsessed with fringe issues. And people who are obsessed with fringe issues tend to be fringe. Not just blue fringe, but fringe.
Yes. They sort of tried to position themselves to the left of Labour. There's also, and it always takes me a moment to get my head around this, but it's pertinent to this story, which is their policies in Scotland are different to the policies in the UK, right?
Yeah, but that's not wholly unusual because that's how devolution should work.
For example, the Scottish Greens are in favour of independence, correct?
Yes.
Whereas, you know, Caroline Lucas, you know, and there was a bit of a friction, wasn't there, during the EU referendum? If I recall.
You'd have to remind me.
I'd have to remind. But anyway, the point we're making, and you've expressed it very well, is that they're no longer just the climate change party.
No, and I think it's a real shame because actually they could have had real musculature if they'd stuck to that one issue and really driven any government, any council, anywhere where they were in the legislature on that issue, but instead they completely dissolved all of their campaigning muscle. They became obsessed with things like gender ID, self-ID, and really kind of damaged themselves in terms of the kinds of people the Greens could reach. So, for example, my mum would have been well open to voting Green. I mean, she's a Labour Party member, but she's the sort of person. But she just, you know, she just looks at them now and thinks they're a joke party.
Yeah. Just to be clear, I was totally and utterly wrong about the Greens and Brexit. The Scottish Greens believe that Brexit, completely opposed Brexit, and particularly because Scotland voted against it. So ignore everything I said before that. But you make a very good point. And I just want to go back to the thing we said, you said earlier about Hamza Yousaf kind of not seeing this coming. Of all the things that would trigger the Greens to walk out in a huff and to sort of martyr themselves and to make a point, mucking around on environmental policy was obviously going to be the thing.
The problem was, in one day, you had the announcement that the Scottish NHS was going to follow the CAS report and the reduction of the climate change targets. And those have been two of the Greens' biggest kind of issues in government, in the Scottish government.
Just quickly remind people what the CAS report is.
The CAS report was a massive four-year report into the gender services and the evidence-based medicine behind transitioning children in terms of gender.
Yeah, and it came out a couple of weeks ago, and both the UK government and the Scottish government have now accepted it.
Have accepted its recommendations in full. It's been controversial. It shouldn't have been. It's, you know, it's fully evidence-based. There's been quite a lot of misinformation. A Labour MP, Dawn Butler, had to actually apologise to the Houses of Parliament because she had repeated misinformation that had been given to her in a briefing by Stonewall, and then had to come and correct the record.
Yeah, so those were the two things that the Greens were on edge about. So he has played this badly. Hamza Yousaf has said, the SNP needs the freedom and flexibility to ensure we move Scotland forward. We need to speak to the country with one voice, our voice. It just, to sum up, we've got a lot to get through, so I want to bring an end to this, but it just seems to me that the SNP have just been so knocked off their perch recently. We discussed, didn't we, all the stuff around the allegations at towards Nicola Sturgeon's husband and his charge and rearrest. It's, you know, it has been a mess for the SNP recently, and I sort of get the fit, you know, the same way you and I talk about the Conservatives here, that it just feels like the end times. I'm getting a similar vibe from the SNP. It will never be quite as cataclysmic.
I mean, to be fair, though, they're still at 30 something points in the polls.
Sure.
Their baseline seems to be a lot higher than the Tories.
I agree with that. But I also think they're not winning all 50 seats at the next session.
No, and the interesting thing about Scotland is that an awful lot more seats in Scotland are marginal. So you could have the two parties having roughly equal vote shares, but those seats tipping and tipping and tipping, because that's the way that the cookie crumbles in those individual constituencies.
Right. I also don't think if there was a Scottish election tomorrow, they would win a majority.
Well, very few, to be fair. The Scottish Parliament was not set up to be a majoritarian parliament.
Indeed.
So it's actually quite unusual that they did win a majority.
But
whether
they
could win a governing minority vote is in question now, I think. And I believe that Anas Sawar has just laid down. So there was originally laid down a vote of confidence in Hamza Yousaf alone by the Conservatives in Scotland, Douglas Ross. But now there's a motion laid down of no confidence in the whole Scottish government, which could tip us into a Scottish election if that passes.
That would be fascinating.
Hamza Yousaf's vote is currently 63-64, with the vote that would make the difference is Ash Regan, who ran against him in the leadership, defected to Alba, and about whom he then said she was no great loss.
Yes, and but he's now having, I heard about this, he's now having to do a bit of negotiating with her, isn't he?
Yeah, he's like, she's laid down her terms, and whether he will accept them or not, that remains to be seen.
Yes, interesting. We have one other major story this week, which is that the Labour Party have committed to renationalising the rail within 5 years if they win the election.
Yes,
Now, you were
we.
cheering this to the rafters. I have to be honest, I can sort of be convinced either way. I booked a train ticket the other day and I thought, oh, let me have a look if I can get an open return. Let's see how much difference it makes, if it makes my life easier. It was over 300 quid.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely crazy. And if we are trying to do modal shift from car to train or car to public transport, then we cannot have people paying 300 quid for a basic journey. If you drove that, it would cost you what, 20 quid in petrol?
Something like that, yeah, half a tank.
Absolutely
Half a tank, so
crazy.
50 quid.